Hey, everybody, it is Chris Akin from the Classic Metal Show and the Aftershocks podcast. And before we show you this next video, just wanted to remind you that you can add the CMSPN to your Roku. That's right. If you have a Roku or a Roku TV, just click the link below. It's in the scroll. It's also in the description of this video. And make sure you're logged into your Roku account on your computer, and it will add it right to your Roku. It'll add it. Then you just refresh your device and bang, there it is. That way you can watch all of our episodes, whether it's us or Skull Sessions or Talk to Me or Aftershocks or Classic Metal Show. I'll be on your TV. It's a deal, right? And it's free. All right. Make sure you do that. And now here's the video you actually came to see. All right, it is Aftershocks right here on AftershocksTV.com. And joining us today to talk about her brand new release called Radio On, which comes out July 23rd, I believe, is the Metal Queen herself, who I can't believe I've never spoken to until now. It is Miss Lee Aaron. Lee, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? I mean, doing great in spite of COVID and all the weirdness out there right now. I'm doing pretty peachy. Yeah.
That's great. Well, yeah, and that's the whole thing is I think you have to put that caveat in now. You can't just say, oh, everything's fantastic. It has to be. It's fantastic in spite of the world.
Yeah, it's just such a weird thing right now. Hey, and just I thought I was doing really, really great for about a year. But now that we've passed the year mark, I'm kind of going, okay, enough is enough. You know, right. Like I need to get out there and do some live shows. You know, honestly, if it wasn't for music, I think I'd lose my freaking mind right now. Music has been keeping me going, writing and recording. So,
sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, if COVID did nothing else, it gave us a great record, I'm assuming, because I'm assuming that you wrote and recorded this material during the pandemic time. So why don't we start there and talk a little bit about about Radio On. Maybe just give me a backstory to, you know, what actually pushed you to write this collection of songs and get in the studio to work on it?
Well, Radio On, the actual writing process took place before COVID.
Okay.
In the summer of, no, I guess, yeah, like summer 2019.
Okay.
We were out doing some shows. And what I can tell you is that there's a real magic with my band when we get in the same room together. But we're a bi-coastal band. My guitar player lives in Toronto. My bass player and my drummer, who's my husband, and myself, we live on the West Coast, but we don't live all in the same city. Okay. So I had this crazy idea. I thought, you know, it would be really fun because we connect all over Canada and various places in the world for shows, right? Mm-hmm. I said, you know, if we just fly you in, instead of sending files, because a lot of, you know, that's how bands write, they send files back and forth, right? And that's how we wrote our last couple albums. But I said, you know, it'd be really fun to get us all in a room together. Just lock ourselves down like we're teenagers in the basement for a couple days and just go for it. So we flew Sean in, my guitar player. And that's literally what we did. We locked ourselves in our rehearsal space for a couple of days. And I said to everybody, bring your A game, bring your best few song ideas. And we literally had the album pretty much put together in a weekend. All of the musical, the solid foundation of the music was there, all of the top lines and the choruses. And then I took it away for the rest of the summer into the fall. And I sort of refined the lyric content.
Okay.
And then we had a plan to go into the recording studio the middle of March, 2020, which was that COVID exploded around the world.
Right.
So we had like 4 or 5 days booked for our bed tracks. And we had to finish them in two because the studio was shutting down. My guitar player had to fly home. He'd come out here, but, you know, just sort of the alarm level around the world was going up and up and up and up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his family wanted him to fly home. Anyway, so to make a long story short, all of that spontaneity, I think, made for a great record. There was a lot of furious energy to get the bed tracks done. So they were recorded literally live off the floor in a couple of days. Okay. And then we were unfortunately forced back into our home studios But that gave us the luxury of time to do really cool overdubs. I put some keyboards and, you know, to plan my choral parts for the choruses and stuff like that. And yeah, so the rest of it was recorded at home. And then I started interviewing some mixers throughout the summer of 2020, and then decided on Mike Fraser, who I'm so happy I got to work with him. You know, decided on Mike Fraser, and then we went into the studio in November and mixed the album. So,
yeah. No doubt. And I have to imagine that in a way, while it came out great when you were doing it, and just when you were doing the actual final recording, it had to be frustrating just for the fact that you had come in with such an organic vibe of creating the music, you know, over a weekend and together. I'm sure you envisioned doing the album together as well. Was that frustrating to have to kind of pull back from that plan?
Well, I think what we, like we, because we are all set up with home studios, we all have world-class recording equipment. I mean, when I say world-class, I don't mean like I have an SSL console in my house, but right. But I do have a really, really good preamp, and I'm working in Logic Pro, which can easily translate into Pro Tools, which is an industry standard. So anyway, I'll shut up about the gear talk here. But and I've got a couple of really good microphones at my house. And but anyway, to make a long story short, we always envisioned that we would be doing like the candy, you know, of the album, like some of the little, you know, little color keyboard parts and things like that. But we imagined we would be doing the bulk of that in the bulk of the bed track recording. And it's just nice to have the luxury of more than 48 hours to do it, right?
Sure.
So we envisioned we would have more time to do more takes and to refine that whole process. But yeah, it was a bit frustrating. We were, when we finished all the tracks, we took them back, and then I was listening back to them, and I was, for instance, a song like Soulbreaker, which is the second track on the album. I listened back to the tracks and I was like, oh man, you know, I think we were all, our anxiety level was very heightened, and almost every take was too fast and I wasn't happy with it. And then I found one take, it was like the fourth or fifth take we did, where I'm like, okay, it was actually one of the first takes we did when I'm like, we were more relaxed this first time we played it. And yeah, there's like a little tiny mistake, but I don't care. I'm just going to go with this
right. Take,
right? And I mean, hey, the Who made mistakes all over the place, and so did Zeppelin. So what the hell, right?
Exactly. Good company. Well, you definitely made a great record. I'm enjoying it thoroughly, and
thank you.
I really like this. I love a lot of the songs, and I'll get into a couple of them here. But my favorite on the record, I'll start there because that's easiest, is "Come On." If there's anybody that's out there that is 25 years old or older that can't relate to that song, then they're living a very awful life, because it's just such a relatable song about that nervousness of deciding if you're going to try and take a relationship forward. Talk a little bit about writing that song. Was that something that maybe you had the seed planted long ago, or was it something you saw in a movie and just thought, okay, I can write about that? Or where did the seed for that one come from?
Well, I'm not 25 anymore. So
what,
you know, you know, it's funny, 'cause as I've gotten older and become a parent and married and all that stuff, and, you know, my worldview has changed a bit, but you know, love is pretty universal, obviously. And, but I found it on the last couple albums a little bit of a challenge in terms of how do I write a mature love song? Like, I'm not going to write about partying and boys at this stage of the game.
Right.
You know, most of my colleagues that, you know, once you're like over 40 or 45, it's like, if you're writing about picking up chicks and drinking, it's like, get a life, you know, like, I mean, that's just kind of stupid at this stage. Right. But, you know, love is universal. And so Dave, my bass player, had come with this bass line, and he had this little idea that he was singing, "It all comes down, it all comes down to you." And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, it's because Dave is, he's like an ideas man, and he's wonderful. But he'll just like sort of sing the first lyric that comes into that head that sort of fits. And so we ended up polishing up the music together as a band, and bringing a few more kind of like pop hard rock elements into it. And then I took it away and I'm like, okay, I like the come on, the come idea. Like, what can I do with that? And so the idea of writing a song about being burned in love, because that's what come on is about. It's about being burned and being afraid to take, to jump back in with your, into the fire. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about having a second chance at love. And that's something that is relatable, not just for someone who's 25, but for someone who's 60, for goodness sakes. You know, you could have just gotten divorced and you're thinking of moving forward with a relationship. It's a, to me, that was a theme that was extremely relatable for a person of any age. Having a second chance at love or at romance, right? And yeah. And then we kind of spun it into you know, this kind of like, I guess I describe come on as sort of like hard pop rock, you know? It's really fun and it's like a summertime driving tune, you know?
Absolutely. It's probably the most reminiscent of your early days without sounding dated, either lyrically or musically, to your early days, if that makes any sense.
Well, thank you. It's funny. I just talked to Carl Bagai from Brave Words, and he said exactly the same thing. Okay. He said the album reminds him of body rock, but it's with less polish. Right. And I thought, yeah, that's it.
Well, and maybe I'm wrong on this, and you can tell me that I am, but I think the biggest change for you probably as a writer is that you seem to write more, you make more statements now in your songs, where in the early days, I think you were just writing songs that kind of felt good. You know, it does seem like songs like Come On or the other one I'm going to bring up in a minute, Wasted, very theme oriented, definitely seem like you had a purpose to write them.
Well, unless you're really familiar with my whole catalog, which a lot of people are only sort of familiar with my, you know, my big hits, right? Mm-hmm, sure. But there's been themes throughout my writing. Okay. Although I'd like to think that the actual bulk of the lyric content is certainly, I think, stronger and more mature now. I think I'm becoming a better songwriter with every record. I mean, I'd be foolish to think that I wasn't, because I feel like every time I make another album, I'm, you know, polishing my craft, right, a bit. But, you know, a lot of people aren't aware, like even on the Metal Queen album, number one, Metal Queen was a feminist statement. It was a song of female empowerment. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be a pushback against all that extreme sexual stereotypes, the sexist marketing of women in the 80s. I mean, it was rampant. I mean,
right, sure.
I was just watching a thing last night. It's a documentary on Chris Holmes from Wasp. And I mean, Wasp had a naked woman with a bag over her head on stage.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't get much more sexist than that. Like, right. And so being a woman in hard rock at that time was tough.
Sure.
You know, I was an angry woman wanting to write songs, mm-hmm. With something to say, and battling against being marketed like a sex kitten, which is what the labels wanted. You know, those were hard times, you know. You know, there's a song on Metal Queen called Steal Away Your Love. It's a song about assault, you know. There are some strong themes in my early writing, but because of the era in which it was marketed and devoured by a 20-something rock and roll public, right? It's, I think a lot of those messages were maybe lost. You know, Emotional Rain has a lot of strong themes. There's a song called Soul into Motion on that album, which is all about, you know, people think that one small action individually can't make a difference. But if we put the soul of the world into motion, if we all do small actions, it can change the world.
Right.
You know, like, so I was always kind of writing stuff like that. And but yeah, you know, again, the empowerment theme, Diamond Baby, the song Diamond Baby is a song about, you know, rising from the ashes and getting your power back. The song Vampin on the new album is exactly the same theme. It, you know, I think battling against that kind of marketing in my early 20s really made an indelible impression upon me. And it seems to be a theme, a feminist theme that keeps coming up in my writing again and again and again.
Well, you know, it's probably because it's more people like to say that things are changing and this and that, and maybe they're not as much as people would like to believe. You know, it definitely still you look at the charts today, which, you know, the rap charts, and you see the Nicki Minaj's and the Beyonce's and whatnot, and half of what they're marketing is half naked chicks. I mean, that's just the nature of it. It's people like to say things have changed, but maybe they haven't changed as much as people want to believe. No.
Well, I think the difference between the 80s and now is that, you know, women are, they're when they're dressed in hot pants,
right,
and cavorting around, showing off their bodies, they're doing it of their own volition. It's not something that there was a lot of pressure to be marketed that way in the 80s, put it that way. Women are doing it more of their own volition now. With that said, I think it's almost in this woke era, it's gone a little bit over the edge where you know, Nicki Minaj can write a song about her private parts.
Right.
And if I were to do that, I would be ripped apart by the media. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I think so. There's a little bit of a double standard there. You know, as someone who is the parent of a young teen girl now, I go, like, who do I want her role models to be? You know, right. Meg White or Miley Cyrus?
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And the last thing you want is to try and explain something that you did on your own music that your kid discovers, right?
Well, we've had a lot of discussions around that. You know, my kids are very aware of my past, and you know, she and I'm a bit of a mama bear with my daughter. You know, in terms of, you know, I've said to her many times, you know, you're gonna wear that, because when you wear that, it sends a message to every boy in your high school. Right. So be aware of what you're doing, right?
Sure.
You just need to know. You know, and I'm not trying to be, you know, uptight and old fashioned, but you know, as someone who's lived through it, you know, I have strong opinions. So
sure. As you should, as a parent, forget as a rock star, as a parent, you definitely got to have those. Well, let's move it back to music, because I know you don't want to just only focus there. But one of the things that is very obvious about your career versus so many of your contemporaries from that 80s scene is you just have not lost a step vocally. Your voice sounds as good now as it did at the beginning, and that is rare. You know, I'm sure you're aware, and we don't have to name the bands, but I'm sure you're aware there's a lot of bands that don't sound as good. Is that due to, you know, healthy living, or do you work on your voice constantly, or what has it been that has allowed you to not tear your voice up the way so many have?
Yeah, that's a good question. What I can tell you, and I've mentioned this a few times in other interviews, is when my kids were really little, I went through this phase of just being, we had a daughter that had colic and a son who had some exceptional needs when he was young, and which is much better today, but I was really run down, and I got very sick with a flu, which turned into bilateral pneumonia. Mm-hmm. And again, it was just the stress of being a young parent and mm-hmm. everything else that was going on in my life. And I got very ill, and at the end of, I was on multiple rounds of antibiotics. I had to see a respirologist because I could not breathe. I also have asthma. And by the end of the pneumonia, literally, I would be dropping my kids at school and coming home and going back to bed because I literally felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. It was horrible. I thought I was never going to sing again because I had completely lost my voice 3 months into this. And I'd gone to multiple specialists. Nobody could figure out what was going on. And I finally landed on a guy in Vancouver who was a vocal specialist. And he took one look down there. He said, "Oh man, all the medicine, all the antibiotics, all the inhalers that you've been doing to breathe have left a residual thrush infection on your vocal cords." Mm-hmm. I literally had to get injections into my neck, cortisone injections. I was like Clockwork Orange. I was so freaked out, man. I thought I was never going to sing again.
Right.
But this guy nursed me back to health.
Okay.
And from that moment forward, I was just like, you know, this is my instrument. This is my craft. This is my lifeline, man. If I don't have my voice, I don't know what I would do, because music, writing and singing, it's been my source of joy my whole life.
Sure.
And I don't know what, and it's my passion, and I don't know what I'd do without it. So yeah, from that point forward, I'm like, you know, I've never been one to, I've never really abused substances at all. Like I have the odd glass of wine, I'll be honest. Like, I like my glass of wine once in a while, but yeah, I only put good things into my body. Like, you know, does it come out of the earth? Does it, is it, was it, does it come from an animal that eats grass? You know, like I'm very, very, I eat extremely clean.
Okay.
I don't abuse substances. I hike and I run. So to keep my, my breathing stamina up. So yeah, I mean, I try to get sleep is really paramount. Honestly, you, lack of sleep will just wreck your voice.
Yep.
So it's mostly just clean living. And then I never go out there. If I'm going out on a tour, like I start warming up weeks in advance. I work on my vocal technique and sing along with my set list and make sure that my voice is in top shape before I head out there. Right. I mean, you wouldn't go to the gym and lift 500 pounds over your head without working up to it, right?
Right, sure.
And that's what it's like being a rock singer, right? Mm-hmm. And I use in-ear monitors. Those have been like a godsend the last few years of my life, because I don't have to scream above amplifiers on 11 anymore.
Right. Makes sense. Certainly. Well, speaking of touring, obviously the world seems like it might be opening up here a little bit. What is it? What are you, is it late enough to be able to plan something to tour radio on, or do you still, are we still in kind of a wait and see, or are you picking up some gigs here and there? Or?
Nobody's really booking very much right now. Like some people are doing some virtual shows. Some tours have been pushed into 22. All my stuff has been pushed into 2022. But I got to tell you, the moment it opens up, we're so there.
Right.
So I do have some shows planned for 2022. If hopefully they go forward. The scary thing is any one of us could be India at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
The moment we think we're safe. I mean, this is what happened. These guys thought they had it beat. And they opened up and had some large events, and COVID went crazy again. So I think we're kind of in a wait and see mode. With that said, I can tell you that my band and I were writing material for another record right now. Uh-huh. We've got over half of it done. And so I'm super stoked about that, because I'm just going to keep moving forward, writing and recording. And when we do go out there, there's definitely going to be songs from Radio 1 incorporated into my set list. Okay. You know, I feel really fortunate because I feel like I'm one of the few artists that has managed to put the hits from my past, which encompasses about half of my set. But fans, believe it or not, are really interested in my new material. So we've managed to make like 50% of our set new material, and people are really excited about it. So I feel really blessed, because a lot of bands can't do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm talking to a label in Canada where I'm looking as well at putting together an ultimate Lee Aaron box set, which when Radio 1 is finished, or perhaps the next album, that'll be like half old, half new.
Okay.
Like the ultimate Lee Aaron.
There you go. Excellent. Now I'm curious for you personally, when you do get to tour, whenever that is, whether it's this late this year, early next year, late next year, do you think you will approach touring differently, you know, on forget the stage level, but all the other stuff, the interviews, meet and greets, just sticking your hand out to shake somebody's hand? Is that all going to have to adjust to what we've just gone through?
I have to tell you, that's my favorite part. Besides performing, mm-hmm. is being able to meet the people that love my music.
Sure.
That's always been super important to me. I always do autographs. I always shake hands, and I always take photos with people. That is a huge part of what I feel I love to be able to give my audience.
Mm-hmm.
But it all depends. I think that however things open up, I'll be grateful to be able to perform in front of people. I'll be able to wave. If that's all it ends up being, I think that that whatever safety protocols are put in place, whatever health and safety says is what we will be following, because it's not just about me getting sick. It's about all my fans, you know, like I don't want them to get sick either. So, you know, maybe there'll be some kind of unique setup where we can sanitize and stand a certain distance to take a photo from each other, and there'll be a photographer. I don't know. But whatever safety protocols are at the time, that's what I'll be following.
Makes sense. Well, for now, Lee, I think people are just going to have to wait till July 23rd to get their first taste of you in a few years. The new album is Radio On. It is Lee Aaron. And Lee, where should we send people to follow, keep up with you, get tour dates, buy merch, all that stuff?
Well, the easiest place to go is just my website. It's www.leearon.com. www.leearon.com. And from that website, you can link to all my socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's all there.
Perfect. Well, once again, the new album is called Radio On. It is Lee Aaron. And Lee, thanks so much for joining us here on Aftershocks.
Hey, it was an absolute pleasure talking to you. I hope we get to talk soon again.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to Aftershocks. For more episodes, go to our website at www.aftershockspodcast.com. Visit us on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for more news and information on the podcast. And be sure to subscribe, listen to, and review all episodes on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other podcast platforms. For your music listening pleasure, visit our website or go to www.shockwavesradio.com. For all comments and questions, please email us at info@aftershockspodcast.com.
All right, everybody, another great interview right here on Aftershocks TV. And before we go, just want to remind you one more time, make sure you get over and subscribe to the CMS Podcast Network, cmspn.com. You can watch, you can listen, you can subscribe to everything that we do, not only us, but the Classic Metal Show, Shockwave Skull Sessions, Talk to Me. It's all there, one site, get four great shows. Never have to do anything again but be entertained. So check it out, cmspn.com, cmspn.com, cmspn.com. Until next time, folks.